You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
I love these guys. Tattoo on my face. Oh, speaking of tattoos on your face.
Oh, yeah? You're going to get one?
No, God, no. Mike Tyson.
Right under your eye.
Mike Tyson, Jake Paul this Friday night on Netflix.
Woo!
There's not a person who's over the age of 30 cheering for Jake Paul.
Yeah, we kind of want to see the old Mike Tyson just
every meme I've seen on Facebook, one's like, if there's a God in heaven, Jake Paul goes down in the first round.
90 seconds. Let's get it done.
Two-minute rounds Friday night.
Well, that Facebook is your algorithm. I'm sure there's a lot of younger people out there that they're hoping for Jake Paul, and they're getting those memes.
Wow, that was...
They're called 12.
Now, I don't deny that Mike Tyson still got the power.
I just watched a video of him training.
I bet you that he can lay some blows, if you know
Have
what I'm saying.
Have we all forgotten that he bit a man's ear off?
But can he take the blows he used to be able to?
Of all of his past misdeeds, that's the one you're going to mention?
Well, you're talking about him in the ring. I'm not talking about his behavior outside of the ring. Okay. We could spend an hour talking about that.
It was abhorrent.
We could spend an hour talking about that. I'm talking about inside the ring. Oh, he's still got some fight left in him. Like, he bit a guy's ear off!
That guy was Evander Holyfield.
Yep.
How old is Mike Tyson now?
57?
Look,
more fragile than he used to be.
Just do not assume anything about the old man. Just,
Let me see. I think he's 57. Jake Paul is like 27 or something.
Somewhere in there.
Mike Tyson's 58.
I think you guys are going to be shocked by the result.
You think Jake Paul's going to win?
Well, if he can withstand a few heavy hits from Tyson, yes. But I don't think Tyson can take blows like he used to be able to.
His endurance may not be the best. He may not be able to last that long, but if he can get it done quickly.
Yeah, he's going to have to get it. All right, so the card, and I don't know how many fights are on the card, starts at 7 o'clock Central Time on Friday night.
You better get some coffee ready if you're going to stay up for the fight, because the main fight doesn't typically start
until
9:30,
10 o'clock, yeah.
That might be past Mike Tyson's bedtime.
From the text line, I'm 26. Nobody's rooting for Jake Paul.
Uh-huh, see, I told you.
And no, text line, I am not watching unless I go to Scott's house because I'm not buying Netflix.
You are just so anti.
Can't let it go. It's World Kindness Day, Sam. Let it go.
Yes. Man.
Those are his kind comments.
Mm. Yeah, I'm holding back. Mm. Wait till I bite Netflix's ear off.
Okay.
Yeah, Jake Paul is 27 years old. All right. Chiefs got some players coming back on Sunday.
Oh, my gosh. It's all over social media. They were today showing on the practice field Isaiah Pacheco.
Good.
They were showing Juju Smith-Schuster.
Charles Amenihue.
And Amenihue. All three coming back for Sunday. I can't believe we're not favored to win Sunday. Like, I don't want to jinx it, but I'm saying you said what? We're 2 point?
2.5.
2.5.
We prefer to be the dogs.
Only.
Well, they were underdogs when they went out and played San Francisco on the road.
Makes Mahomes angry.
Mm-hmm.
Make us the dogs.
Dave Coulier, an actor and comedian who found fame as Uncle Joey on Full House, has revealed that he's been diagnosed with stage 3 non-Hodgkin lymphoma, which is a cancer of the blood. Coulier shared the news earlier today during an interview on the Today Show. He told Hoda Kotb that he was diagnosed 5 weeks ago. Quoting here from Coulier, in that time, I've had 3 surgeries, I've had chemo, I've lost a little bit of hair, I kind of look like a baby bird now, but it has been a roller coaster ride for sure. He has B-cell lymphoma, which he described as, quote, aggressive. Huh. Quoting here, because it's important that we read these things so that other people who might have it know what to look for or what a symptom might be. He said, the onset of this growing lymphoma in my groin area was very quick. So I said, something's not right. I have a golf ball down there. And so we biopsied it. We took it out, and they said, you know, we wish we had better news for you, but you have B-cell lymphoma. We need to get you into chemotherapy right away. The kind of cancer that he has accounts for 4% of all cancers in the United States. Bone marrow showed it had not spread. It had not metastasized. Of course, wishing the best for Dave Coulier.
Okay, there is a whopper of a story out of Channel 5 that I sent to some of my friends in the finance world because I don't understand how this happens. But if you know, we would love to hear from you. An Olathe couple has been denied thousands of dollars from their IRA account after their previous bank was taken over by another bank. Banks consolidate and take over the banks all the time, right, Scott?
I wouldn't say all the time, but it's not unheard of.
And if your money is in Bank A, and then you turn around and the next day it has a different name or it's consolidated, your money is still there. I was with one bank. I'm not going to name the bank. This was years ago, that ended up merging with another bank. And we got some emails saying, look, you're going to get a different, you know, the account's going to stay the same. The address on the checks is going to stay the same, but the name is changing, basically. And outside of that, nothing else had changed. And so I'm asking, how does this happen?
I was talking to somebody recently who said that their bank merged and it was like a 3-week process to get access to their money again.
Ugh. Okay.
Well, how is that even possible?
42 years ago, a young Roy Holiday made an initial investment toward retirement. 42 years ago, he squirreled away $1,500. He says it probably doesn't sound like a lot of money today, but it was to us back then, and it was the first substantial effort I made in retirement for my wife and myself. The individual retirement account, better known as an IRA, was taken out at the Patrons State Bank and Trust of Olathe back in 1981. Fast forward to today, at 12% interest, Roy believed that that IRA had grown to around $200,000.
Wow.
And it was time to cash out. My wife has had some physical problems. We've been looking to make some modifications to our home for her limited mobility. So Roy went to the bank that has since been replaced by Bank of America. And a bank worker said, we have no record of your IRA.
Oh, hell no.
That you should contact the, quote, abandoned property department within the state of Kansas. You know, the they've got the coffers at the
Kansas Department of...
It's not the Treasury Department, is it?
No.
You know what I'm talking about.
There is no Treasury Department.
It's the Secretary of State.
Yeah, I think you might be right.
Anyway, they say contact the Kansas coffers. Roy contacted the state and was told it also had no record of the bank abandoning his IRA account. So back to Bank of America he went. The bank even went as far as to tell Roy to file a lawsuit, which he did. The bank countersued, saying this money doesn't exist. They have chosen to take the position that they can't find it, can't do anything about it, and are now forcing Mr. Holiday to go to court, quoting here from Roy's attorney, David Adams. Until then, Roy's money is stuck. Listen to this. They have the original IRA certificate. Roy says they have acknowledged that certificate is valid. They have acknowledged it was issued. They have acknowledged I paid the money for it.
But they could make an argument that he cashed it out in 1984. You know?
But if you have an IRA.
I do. I have a Roth IRA.
And I have had people in the world of finance tell me, like, if you leave your job, quit your job, I guess if a bank takes over as a new bank, you probably should at the time move that money. But for whatever reason, they didn't.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think probably because it was a brick and mortar, and you still see the brick and mortar is still there.
Yeah, well, my Roth IRA is independent of my job. I never signed up for the Roth through Entercom or Odyssey or anything.
Who
like that.
Backs an IRA like the FDIC backs your money in the bank?
I don't know that anybody does, because you're investing. I mean, you could lose everything if the market were to crash. I don't think anybody backs that up for you. I mean, the money in the bank with the FDIC, by the way, that's only up to $250,000.
Never had that problem.
No, I never have either. I wish I had that problem. But for rich people, that's why a lot of rich people have multiple accounts, you know, because they will only insure you up to $250,000.
Yeah.
So if you have $251,000 in that account, $1,000 of that money is not insured. So if you, say you have $1 million in savings, you need four accounts.
Yeah.
God forbid.
Maybe someday.
Yeah, maybe someday. Hey, I'm right there with you, brother. 913-586-7798, 586-7798, here on Dana and Parks. Story here from WIBW, where young Dana Wright got her start many years ago. After months of research, the Student Screen Time Task Force, yes, it is a real thing, the Student Screen Time Task Force, has presented its recommendations. from Task Force co-chair Ava Gustin, quote, it involves recommendations on screen time and mental health, personal devices in schools, and then parent oversight of school-owned devices. Topping the 36-member group's list of 22 recommendations is a complete bell-to-bell ban on devices, including during lunch and passing periods. They even recommended period breaks from all screens and policies for the staff as well. Quoting here from another co-chair, Brian Houghton, what we're trying to do here is hopefully present a body of research that helps students have the best opportunities they can moving forward and help teachers have the best opportunities they can to teach without the distractions of cell phones and social media. State board members next will evaluate the recommendations and determine what is next. Keep in mind, this is just a recommendation. But they are recommending this task force, 36 members strong. They came out with 22 recommendations, and they are recommending a bell-to-bell ban on cell phones for students. That includes lunch and the five-minute passing periods in most schools. Anyone?
Good. I don't know what took them so long.
I got bait on that line. Anybody want to bite?
Nope.
Do it now.
Nope.
Yesterday.
I'm with Sam on this one. I think it's time. And I think teachers would love this. What I think is I think a lot of school administrators are afraid of the parents' reaction. And maybe even the students' reactions. If they're told you cannot be on your cell phone during the school day. It's not saying you can't have it. But you can't be on it.
Which means someone has to police it.
Well, yeah, but the students are in their class for, what, 45 minutes of every hour? 50 minutes of every hour?
This technology exists. It's out there. It's not incredibly expensive from what I understand. Why they don't implement it, I don't know. They can get a pouch-like device that you slide your phone into. It remains on your person the entire time. All it does is not allow you to use it until you cross the threshold of that school.
You want to put my phone in a pouch that then stays with me, but it's pouched and I can't use it?
That is correct. That would get rid of the fears of it being stolen because it remains on your person.
Or the fear of what if there is an emergency at the school? Now, here's one thing I'm not perfectly okay with. I don't have a problem if the students want to check their phone maybe at lunch or during certain periods, because it is perfectly conceivable that a parent would need to tell the kid, hey,
pick up your sibling.
I need you. You know, maybe your son is a senior and you've got a daughter who's in sixth grade who's staying after for, you know, band practice or something. Hey, can you pick up your sister at 4 o'clock? I'm stuck at work, can't get out. Or something like that. I don't have a problem with that. I'm just, my concern is the phone constantly in use in the classroom.
Scott, you sound like an old fuddy-duddy.
Well, maybe I am. But I'm with Sam on the pouch. The student gets to keep it, and they have to keep it on their desk or at their workstation within sight of the teacher.
Also, it was a common practice to have a note given to your child prior to every child
the
having a cell phone.
The school secretaries are going to love this.
Telephone number here is 913-586-7798. I might entertain a handful of calls on this. 586-7798, a 36-member task force.
I don't like it.
In the state of Kansas. But why?
I don't know. I just don't.
I mean, if the phone
God
never
I'm out of that stage of our lives. Like, I don't have a student in high school anymore, so I don't really have a dog in this fight.
I would argue, thank God we didn't have cell phones when we were kids. We didn't even have to worry about it. But a 36-member group is recommending a bell-to-bell ban on cell phones in the classroom. Now, that's not going to go over. If you're going to tell the kids they can't bring them in school, there are going to be a lot of car break-ins. If you tell the kids you have to turn them in here, they're going to be phones
stolen.
That get stolen.
What happened to my daughter?
That's right. That's right. So we've got to figure out a compromise where the kids don't have access to non-stop cell phone
use. Do we go back to bringing calculators in the classroom then? Because students do use their phones for calculations.
When my kids were in high school, they had calculators.
Okay.
I mean, and they were the ones, a little bit better than what you and I had when we were in high school. But, I mean, they've got all those goofy buttons. I don't even know what they mean. I didn't know what they meant when I was in high school.
Like sine and cosine?
I don't know what that means.
I used to very much understand what all of that means.
Well,
I wouldn't be able to use it today. I didn't retain it, but I was good at it at the time.
I'm good at, like, rudimentary math. But when the girls were in high school, and I kind of felt bad about this sometimes, they would FaceTime my brother was a math teacher,
yeah.
Math major in college, and he has a master's in mathematics. But when the girls were in high school, they would FaceTime their uncle when they had questions about math. Because I can do your social studies. I can do your history. No problem.
Yeah.
Oh, you got a question about the Great Gatsby? I'm your man. You put a math problem in front of me, I'm out. 913-586-7798. Richard in Lenexa. Richard, hi.
Good afternoon.
Hi.
Well, I just called to say that with regard to this phone thing, our post went out and did a Veterans Day flag ceremony at a middle school over in Shawnee, and not one of the students had a phone, either during the ceremony or when they went to lunch right after the ceremony, which gives me the promise that maybe somebody might figure out that kids don't need to talk to each other when they're sitting across the room.
All right, Richard, thank you for the call.
It's
man.
True. They don't need to talk. They don't need a phone to talk to each other when they're
sitting right next to each other.
But what if I need to get hold of my child?
Like I said, there has to be some sort of a compromise. But what would you have to tell your kid? If it was an emergency and they're in class, you could call the front office.
Right, I suppose, yeah.
And then every classroom nowadays, at least every classroom I've been in, the teacher has a desk phone. Not unlike the one we have right here in the studio.
I believe it's mandated that they have a desk phone.
Yeah. And if, you know, God forbid, you know, there's been a death in the family or there's some emergency at home, the house is on fire, whatever. I don't know why the kid would have to go home for that because you don't have a home anymore. But
wow.
You could call the office and just say, I need Sarah Parks released from school. I'm going to be picking her up in 10 minutes. We've had a death in the family.
Oh, God. The secretaries are screaming, please don't do this to us.
Well, it's what they used to do in the 80s.
Can you please slide Johnny a slip of paper that says I need him to take his sister to a dentist appointment? It's not one kid that you're dealing with. It's 1,200 kids.
Well, but I'm sure secretaries weren't particularly thrilled when they started using buzzers to get people into the school. But we had to change because things weren't working. And now you have to stand there like a moron in freezing weather outside the door to the high school. And, hi, can I come in? I want to drop something off for my kid. And I'm sure secretaries in the beginning of that were like, oh, great, we got to buzz every single moron parent into the school. Good times. 913-586-7798. 913-586-7798 here on Dana and Parks. Two opposing takes on the hotline. Before we get to that, let me just remind everybody, because we really want to have great success this year with our Coats for Kids 2024 campaign. We launched it earlier this week. I believe it was on Monday. And through your generosity and care, we're hoping to raise $60,000 this year. I know it's ambitious, but we think we can do it. And we're trying to get about 3,000 new coats for children here in Kansas City. And I know I speak for Dana and for everybody here at KMBZ. We have seen the need over the years, and it just seems to get bigger and bigger. We're now working with 5 different school districts, KCK, Kansas City, Missouri, Independence, Hickman Mills, and Center. If you can help, we are accepting donations at KMBZ.com. The campaign ends on December 13th. KMBZ.com, and that'll take you to a safe and secure website, or just go to, or text, beg your pardon, KMBZ Coats, one word, KMBZ Coats, to 44321. Special thanks to Operation Warm. We've been working with them for a while. And of course, our sponsor every single year, Pinnacle Bank. There is a task force, a blue ribbon committee, whatever you want to call it, in the state of Kansas. It had 36 members, and they are out with their recommendations for handling, among other things, screen time, student screen time, And the committee has recommended a bell-to-bell ban on cell phones with involving students. Now, what does that look like? We don't know. And maybe it would be up to each individual school district if these recommendations were to become the rule, if you will, to figure that out.
It's going
to
be a nightmare. I have a good friend of mine who's a teacher, Scott. And she says, I am 100% for this. It's an easy solution. You give your phone to the homeroom teacher for the day. And a teacher has a bin in their room. That is a great idea in theory until someone breaks into that classroom when the teacher's running down for a bathroom break.
Yeah.
And steals 100 cell phones worth $1,500 a piece. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
No homeroom teacher is going to want the responsibility or the liability of having all of those phones in the homeroom bin.
I don't dispute your contention that the phones should not be taken away from the students.
They're too expensive.
I understand. What I'm saying is there has to be a happy medium that we can come to where the kids are not constantly on their phones and the teachers can do what their job is to teach. And yet in certain circumstances, like maybe lunch, the kid could have access to their phone. They've always got it on their person, but it's in a pouch. And they keep their phone either in their pocket, in their purse, in their backpack, you know, wherever. God knows they don't have lockers anymore for whatever reason. So the kids are always lunging around with their backpacks. Keep it in the backpack. And then, you know, I hear you guys about, you know, what if there's an emergency at the school? There's a shooting or something. The parents are going to get word of it. They're going to hear about it on the radio or on TV. They're going to want to reach out to their kid immediately. That's fine. You know, God forbid a kid who comes into the school with a gun, take the phone out of the damn pouch. Feel free. Two from the text line. As a mom, this is from 1636. As a mom, I want my child to have full access to his phone in case of an emergency. School shootings sadly happen. We live in a sick world. But 7425 writes, I substitute taught for several years. Parents actually call their kids during class time and not for emergencies. It's ridiculous. Okay.
All right.
Let's go to Sherry in Independence. You guys have jammed the phone lines on this. No pun intended. Sherry, hello.
Hello.
Hi.
I have 3 points. I'll be real quick. The pouch is not going to work given to the student. They already have a backpack and a handbag. They can't use it because it is a true addiction. The second point is if you have the scenario, the high schooler needs to pick up the sixth grader, you can text him after school. He'll be happy to go pick up his sixth grade sister. And thirdly, Scott, I think sometimes because I'm not going to call you old, but because when you were in school, junior high and high school, you didn't have a cell phone, you really don't realize these kids, it's an addiction. It is every minute I have to get on my phone. Yeah. Every time it dings, I've got to get on my phone. Can you imagine what it would be like for the teachers, 36 students 7 times a day that they have to get their phone out? They don't hear a darn thing the teacher says. If you want to get a lockbox in the homeroom and put those phones in there and nobody's going to steal them because it's a floor safe that's locked during the day, nobody's going to steal those. And cameras are all over anyway in school now. So there's my 3 points. I love you guys. Take care.
Thank you, Sherry. Very good.
I hate to be all like, boop. Kids are better than everybody says they are, but I'm going to be, and here's why.
I would agree with you on that.
When she says it's all day, it's every day, the kids aren't learning anything, I put all 4 of my kids through a very, very good school system. Okay? Mm-hmm. They all had phones. Some of them look at the phones more than others. Out of the 4, I don't consider any of them to be addicted, and they weren't on their phones all day, every day. Like, they just weren't. I know they weren't. Or some of them did really, really well in high school. There's no way they were on their phones all day, every day and did that well. And I also know just from my personal anecdotal, you know, when we're at dinner, their noses are not in their phones. Are not.
Well, not when they're at dinner with you. But I distinctly remember, and I'm not saying that the kids are bad. I said that in the 3 o'clock hour, that I believe in this younger generation. I really do. I mean, Sam Stevie's in a younger generation than the two of us, and he works harder than both of us combined. Of course, that's not very difficult. But I can still remember being at Panera Bread about 5 or 6 years ago, and I was having lunch with someone, and I looked. It was on a Sunday. I distinctly remember that. It was Sunday around noon, and there was a table of about 8 high schoolers, and they were waiting for their orders to come up, you know, taking their seats. All 8 of them around this table, every single one of the 8 had their nose down in their phone. They weren't even looking at each other.
But is it possible that they did not have access to their phone before, and now that because they're sitting there waiting on food or whatever, this is the first time I've had a chance to look at it? I'm throwing that out.
Well, no, they were reading the Bible or something on it, because those faces were down for a long time.
Maybe they were deep in prayer, Scott. You don't know.
Okay.
The studies show that the entire generation, and my generation, and now, quite frankly, y'all's generation, you boomer adjacents, are addicted to the phone.
I've gotten so much better at it. I'm telling you guys, you can break it.
Pull up your screen time.
All right.
This will be good.
I bet you it says it is way down, because I told you I started reading at night.
I've started, Sam and Dana, when I wake up in the morning, I sleep on the second floor. I come down to make my coffee, and I leave my phone on the island in the kitchen.
And
that is where it stays. Now, from time to time, and I'm all over the house cleaning and out in the yard doing stuff. Today, I squeegeed out the garage floor, and I didn't take my phone with me. Had the guy come over to do the dryer vent. That's on the second floor. Spent a lot of time up there with him as he was talking to me about what was going on. Never once did I think about my phone. I've just started leaving it on the island downstairs, and it stays there. If it rings, I'll hear it. And every blue moon, I'll check it to see if I got a text. Connie in Overland Park. You get the last word, Connie. Maybe the last word. We'll see how quickly you go. Go ahead.
Okay. Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Of course.
I am a school secretary at a middle school in our area, and I can tell you that we do phone policing. Our school district has a zero tolerance on the phones.
Yeah.
And for the most part, it is the parents that are texting their kids and trying to call them during the day. And it puts the kids in a bad situation, because they're doing pretty good with the no tolerance on the phones, but you're torn between a hard spot and a rock, because your mom or dad's calling you. You know you're not supposed to be on your phone. But at our school, the phones in the district get taken away, and we keep them in the office. And I can tell you honestly, they go off all day long with Snapchats, because they sit on my desk. So
like it is very ding ding boops.
What?
Yes, it's very. And you think about a teacher; they can't get much done when those kind of things are going on. Their kids are distracted. And as far as the lunch thing, it's just like if you go to a restaurant, you look at people sitting at their tables, a family or whatever. If the kids have their phones, they're going to be on them and not conversing with each other, which is what they're trying to get the kids to do at lunchtime, to mingle. And so we've gotten kind of far away from all that. But that's the way it is at our school.
All right, Connie, do appreciate it. Diane in Independence, we got about 30 seconds. Can you do it?
Okay, I'll be fast.
Okay,
so the first thing, if for those people trying to break the habit, that's what all those people buy earbuds for, and phones that have that information. You don't have to carry your cell phone around with you all the time. Secondly, another thing that they are to consider is a lot of entertainment event centers have now an option. I went to a Kevin Hart concert where he didn't allow cell phones in. Literally everyone had to turn their cell phone in a pocket. At the end of the night, they were automatically unlocked systematically, and we had to turn them in into a trash can at the end of the night, so everyone did it. That was probably expensive. I have no idea, but that's a great option. And for all the...
Oh, your phone's cutting out.
I was a crazy mom years ago, where they put an app on their phone and they controlled the times, and the people that they could communicate with during the school day did it. Worked wonderful. My kids hated me.
Okay, Diane, thank you.
I am below average today, by the way. Below average.
That doesn't mean anything to me.
No, it means I'm getting better.
How many hours?
4 hours, 44 minutes.
Oh, my God.
That's good.
I was about to out myself thinking that my number was really high. I'm at 90 minutes for today.
But I multitask.
I thought my number was high.
And you know what? It's New York Times. It's social. It's bank. It's calculator. I mean, I had some calculating to do. What's other? 2 minutes.
Scott, did you pull yours up?
I don't know how. 913.
I should have known better. Why did I even
913-586.
How did he find settings? Blink twice if you need help.
7798 on Dana and Parks. KMBZ.com if you are able and willing to make a donation to this year's Coats for Kids 2024 campaign. We launched it on Monday. It continues until mid-December, but we have a lofty goal of $60,000. Every penny goes to buy new coats for children in Kansas City. KMBZ gets none of that money. We're trying to get $60,000, or you can text KMBZ Coats, one word, to 44321. From Fox News, when it comes to healthy eating, veggies are always a good choice, but one takes the cake for being the healthiest. Watercress is the most nutrient-dense vegetable, receiving a perfect score of 100 from the CDC.
Oh, they're so good.
I don't know that I know what watercress is.
Yes, you do. They go in like Chinese food, and they're crunchy. Oh, they're so good.
I'll look it up in a minute. Watercress. I have no idea. Chinese cabbage is a close second with a score of 92, followed by chard, beet greens, and spinach.
Watercress is a leafy green, picture like a clover.
Oh, well, what are those water things called? Chestnuts?
Those are water chestnuts.
Those are water chestnuts, and those do not have any nutritional value.
Well, they don't have fat in it either.
That
it's
is
just
true.
Like eating nothing.
That is
so true. Oh, I know what water. Yeah, I've seen watercress before. Okay. Sam, I've got bad news for you.
Uh-oh.
Yep. Yellow and orange foods like carrots. I saw you eat a whole bag of those today.
Every day.
Tomatoes, winter squash, and sweet potatoes landed in the bottom half.
Oh, I eat tomatoes every day too.
Mm-hmm. Yep. There you go. There's your list, ladies and germs.
The darker the green, the better.
Speaking of health, apparently standing desks may not be as healthy as you once thought.
Glad to hear that. Then I'm going to be just fine.
Never felt so good in all my life.
Our engineer is not laughing.
The global market for standing desks is booming, projected to reach $12 billion in the United States by 2032.
A lot of standing.
These desks have been hailed as a simple fix for the health risks associated with sitting all day. However, recent research suggests that standing might not be the health booster many had hoped for. A new study out of Australia involving more than 83,000 people found that prolonged standing may not improve heart health and could even increase the risk of certain heart problems.
The problem is they're doing it wrong.
What do you mean?
The problem with sitting all day long was because you were living a sedentary lifestyle. So they thought, oh, if we stand, we'll be moving around more.
I just thought it's better for your back and it's better for your...
Definitely better for your posture because
better
it forces
for
you to stand up straight.
Yes.
However, if you're just standing still in an upright...
Oh, I love that song. Oh, am I standing still? Joel, phenomenal. Look it up. Happy World Kindness Day.
Happy World Kindness Day to
that
you as
song
well.
Makes me happy.
We got to run. On behalf of our producer today, the finest man in these United States, the great Sam Stevie III, my good friend and co-host Dana Wright. My name is Scott Parks, and God willing, we are all back tomorrow at 2 o'clock. Have a great night. Be safe. Be kind. Be well. And be good to one another. See you tomorrow at 2 o'clock. Good night. Bonus hours next.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at KMBZ.com.